All right, we got a jam-packed episode coming up for you right after the Brooklyn Nets get a win over the Washington Wizards. Dougster, hit us with the beats.
Kevin Durant already in MVP form. I don't think we're going too crazy here. We're not getting nuts by already mentioning those three little letters to start the season. Nets pulled a 2-2. We'll talk about Durant. We'll talk a little bit about some of the great stuff that he's done, some of the not-so-great stuff we still see from the Nets in them pulling to 500 in the win over the Wizards. We got a pretty packed show here.
You better believe it. That plus Twitter accolades for my co-host, but all coming up right after the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I am at Adam Armbrecht over on Twitter and covering the New York Football Giants off a big second win on the One Giant podcast. But over there, my friends, is not only the DFSR daily fantasy provider for all your fantasy needs, not only at Doug Norrie on Twitter, but blue checkmark wearing badge of honor, Douglas Norrie. We're going to get into the game here, my friend. As you know, Nets get a nice little W at home against the Wizards, but let's focus on the lead here. How does it feel? How does it feel up there in that upper echelon here on a Monday evening?
Well, I told you off the air that it felt a little beneath my station to talk to a non-blue checkmark person like yourself. I guess I've slumped in other areas of my life at times, but this feels like a full-on slum job. So, feel free to pick my brain about anything that we can cover, any topic here. As a Twitter blue checkmark, I know more than you. I'm better than you. It's pretty this is pretty obvious now.
No, listen, there's a lot that we're going to want to get into, but did I check in with Courtney, my girlfriend, and as you know, live-in lover, and say, hey, if this is the end of the line for the relationship, I understand, because obviously I'm not pulling my weight anymore. Bottom line is, the accolades will continue to come for one Douglas Norrie, but the Nets did win at home, first home win of the season, second home game for the Brooklyn Nets, and this one carried kind of more of the same themes, I think, that we've seen early in this season. Not necessarily the complete basketball game we're looking for from the Brooklyn Nets, but right in the forefront is Kevin Durant, who continues to be playing, if it's possible, better basketball than we even came accustomed to last season.
You read it in the title of the show. He's the borderline MVP right now. It's crazy. I think the Nets are 2-2. They could be 1-3. They were about 90 seconds on Friday from being 1-3. And the reason they're not, and the reason they just are 2-2, frankly, because everyone else has basically played terrible, is that Durant has played so unbelievable that he's carried over the sort of playoff performance that we saw last year, where he put the team on his back when he was kind of by himself. Now James Harden's there. You know, they brought in all these reinforcements. Most of them have been bad. Including Harden, and Durant has just been absolutely unbelievable. Like 33 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, 6 assists a game. He's actually shooting kind of poor. What the crazy part is, he has 33 points a game. He's actually shooting poorly from three. He's at 32% of the season. He's up 40-ish, probably with 38% for his career. He's actually underneath a little bit of his free throw percentages too. So the scoring, you could say like some regression to the mean. The points are actually should be more than they are here. The usage rate's been insane. All of his shots look great. He looks in full midseason form even when the rest of the team doesn't. He's like, the odds aren't up on BetOnline right now because sometimes they go down during actual games. He's got to be up there with MVP candidates right now. I know it's 4 games in, but he's been unbelievable. It's the only reason they're 2-2. You know what I mean? He's been as good as he's carried over everything he did in the Bucks season series into this season when the games like arguably matter less, and he's played just as well.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because going back to last year, he's coming off the injury and he finally gets back on the court. At a certain point in the season, we all accept that Kevin Durant is back, right? And then when we got to the playoff series, specifically against the Bucks, like you said, you felt like, oh, okay, this guy's going to put into overdrive because it's the playoffs. You're trying to will your team with all the injuries they're dealing with. But I do think that, listen, we were ecstatic with what we got from Kevin Durant. Remember, coming off the injury, everyone said, maybe 70, 75%. When will he get fully back? But I think there was a point last year we just said, he's back, he's crushing it, Kevin Durant's the man. the difference that you're seeing, and again, small sample size here, but the difference I think that you're seeing is a lot of the, I'm going to say inside the arc, the one-on-one, the dribbling, the ball handling. Like, there was some carelessness with the ball last season that you have not seen a single ounce of to start this year. And it does just look like he's a little bit healthier on that ankle, a little bit fresher, and probably a little bit more confident, right? You're not going to hear it from him over the course of last season. But I'm sure with every single game and the better that he played into the summer with Team USA, it's going to be getting him feeling mentally like, yeah, I am fully back and I'm at the point of my career, my game, where I can say, yeah, I'm the best player in basketball. And that's how he walked into the season, it looks like.
Yeah, he's fully dialed in. He's in midseason form right now, where other players have sort of struggled to get it going for whatever reason. There's lots of, sort of external context behind why some of the guys are struggling. Not always, you know, some it's fit. Some it's like getting used to a new team. Some might be conditioning. We talked about this yesterday about Harden. We'll get into him in a little bit. With Durant, having come off the Bucks series where he like literally left everything out there, played every single minute of game of almost the entire series, basically almost single-handedly willed them to beat the Bucks, who went on to win the NBA championship, and they came very close to not having that be the case only because of him. Yep. Like, only because of how amazing he was. Goes off, goes to play Team USA, doesn't miss a beat, is dominant there obviously, and then rolls right back into the season like they're 40 games in. Right. Or something like that. And his game is predicated so much on, like, the offense. So there's certain, like, so with Harden, and we'll talk about this, I talked about this yesterday, is that Harden's game is singular, but it's also relying a lot on timing, right? Like, he needs to get into the lane. He needs to be able to feed passes. Like, when he's working with other big men, especially on pick and dive stuff, like, there's a timing aspect to his game that exists beyond just him, you know, ISO, step back three, looking for fouls, whatever. Durant's game, if the rest of the team's not in sync, like, the score will be worse, but his stat line doesn't really rely so much on what the rest of the team is doing, because if he gets mismatches like he had, like they put Dinwiddie on him again a ton this game. It did not, like, obviously didn't work at all. Like, he didn't, he was able to pick out mismatches all game long. He's a mismatch for nearly every player in the league. So actually, like, when the team's out of sync, it doesn't really matter for him as much, because he's a get the ball, get to your spot, get the ball, get to your spot, get the ball, get to your spot, rise up. Like, that's his whole entire game. So everyone else can be discombobulated and out of sync. It's only going to be reflected in the record. It's not, because when he's playing like this, it's not going to be reflected. His stat lines don't need everyone else to be perfect. And this is, by the way, I know I'm long with you. Like, this is why you get this guy, because it kind of doesn't matter who you've like put around him. His game is so unique. You want to go small with him? Cool. You want to go big with him? Cool. You want to have all guards? Great. Like, you want to have him control the offense? Great. It all works. Right. And so they started the season. It's just all working. It's the only reason they're 2-2.
Well, by the way, it's like end of the first half, because we'll get into maybe a little bit of the game here, but it wasn't a great game from the Brooklyn Nets overall. But end of the half, it's like when the Wizards throw two defenders on Kevin Durant 12 feet behind the arc and he just nails a dagger triple, you're kind of like, oh, okay. So like, if you thought two defenders was going to be the solve here, you may want to go ahead and run three and then just see if the other players on the court can do anything for you. And the other piece quickly I will say about Kevin Durant, just maybe we take away, not even from this game, but going even back to the Charlotte, even though it was a loss, it's the defensive side of it too. He's looked a lot more active in that area, the help defense. He had a block in that game as well. So again, this is just kind of getting that early season picture where you look at Kevin Durant and we wondered going into the summer about, boy, he's going to go and play for Team USA now. Goes ahead and just, you know, grabs a quick gold medal. No big deal. And you wonder about the wear and tear. And we said it last season, said it in the offseason, and looks like we're going to be saying it during this year too, of Kevin Durant spent so much time not being able to play basketball that there's nothing that is going to stop him from playing the maximum amount of basketball that he can going forward.
Yeah, like, right now, if the season stopped right now, I think he'd be, like, near the top of the MVP discussion. Like, it's a long season, and these things are subject to change always, right? It's a little different. It's like, you really can't overreact to Kevin Durant because he's Kevin Durant. Like, it's like, oh, you know, what are you guys going to go crazy because X, Y, and Z started off the season really well, and, like, that's what you're going to base your whole opinion on? Yeah, that's correct sometimes when you're talking about maybe some Johnny come lately performances by guys that have stepped up out of nowhere. Maybe they're running a little hot from the field. Maybe right. like there's been a little bit of a team situation that's a little different for them. It's not crazy to start talking, to already begin this conversation around him, because it's been a while since he's been able to put like sort of sustain the stats that would put him into this discussion over the long term. And this is like, this is the beginning. I think we're seeing the beginning of what that could look like.
Yeah.
Right. Like the beginning of the conditioning is totally there. The comfortability in the offense is totally there. The scheme, everything about it works for him. He's totally comfortable. He's paid. He's not going anywhere. He's already like, not like I think he ever worried about that stuff anyway, but it's all lined up now. There's no Kyrie and that's going to help the stat line, right? Like that stuff's going to just kind of like pad that stuff a little bit because he's needed so much more. And I think we're just looking at, I don't know, man, is it too crazy 4 games in to start talking about this? I don't think it is only because, sorry, go ahead. What are you going to say? Because it's not too crazy to talk about this early, right? I don't want to be overreactive, but the numbers are so awesome.
But you get these senses from players. Like it made me think about, peak LeBron when he rejoined the Cavs and you knew what this guy was going to do, right? Like you go to 4 finals against the Golden State Warriors, you have those battles, but like, it was just those things. I think you have players like this that have seasons like this in their career, sometimes multiple years when you're the best of the best, like a LeBron James is, like a Kevin Durant, like we think he is, where you just see it, right? Early in a season, you just go, oh, okay, it's going to be one of those types of years for this player. And to your point about signs the extension with Brooklyn, obviously, I think that this is what you're about to enter with Kevin Durant. Long layoff, and it already was reaching the peak of his powers when he was winning with Golden State, but because of the injury, we kind of get this lost sense of it, and you wondered, and we talked about this with Kobe Bryant, he dealt with it later in his career, the injury, also was a different time medically and recovery and all those things. This feels like you're about to enter this fantastic 3-4 year window where it is just, it's Kevin Durant, and it's not taken away from any of these other players, all these other guys, Giannis and everyone else in the league, but there's a difference between being a talent that can win championships and can be this elite freak athlete, and then what is a uniquely individual talent, and that's what I think Kevin Durant's always been, and maybe we're about to see one heck of a run of that. And no, it's not too early. Like, I'm fully on board for it, and it makes for a very interesting season, especially that little footnote of, with no Kyrie, it's even more of the Kevin Durant show for the Nets.
The last time he took more than 20 shots a game in a season was 2013-14. And at the end of that season, he won the MVP. Like, I'm cherry picking a little bit here around like what it looks like when you give Kevin Durant all the shots. But when you give Kevin Durant all the shots, he like last again, it's the last time. And it's the only time in his career he took more than 20 shots a game. Was that season with OKC?
Actually crazy.
And at the end of the season, he was the MVP. So do that as you will. I'm going to use that as the standard that's going to prove the rule now that he's now, if he does that, he will win the MVP. So there you go. All right. We're going to get into a little more of this game. Some of the good stuff, some of the not so good stuff, even though they did pull to 2-2 with the win over the Wizards first. Does this sound familiar to you? You got a device. While you're maybe watching the game on one device, there's another one that you're streaming favorite shows on. Maybe you're heading over trying to get an account from a friend or a neighbor. We know how this works. This is the new age of cord cutting, folks, where you got to try to piece together your TV watching experience, but you don't have to do that anymore if you're using DirecTV Stream. It's going to bring all of your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. You can watch your favorite sports. You like sports. You listen to this podcast. Movies. You like movies too, probably. And shows all in one place. No more juggling remotes. No need to buy another device ever again. Best part, no annual contract. Not going to get locked in here with DirecTV Stream. It's not going to matter. You're going to keep going back to it. But they're just not going to have to sign those annual contracts because sometimes do people in or scare you away. Not with DirecTV Stream. Get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Speaking of packages, you got a great 1-2 punch with Kevin Durant and obviously James Harden right now in Brooklyn, but as good as Durant has looked, James Harden is bringing up the other side of the spectrum. You talk about everyone else around Durant not necessarily having as good a games or completed games. Listen, the stat lines are not always telling you the full tale of a game, but Harden was 5 of 17 from the field, 1 of 8 from beyond the arc. That kind of tells you what happened here. The three-point shot has not been there for him early in this season. I think there's a lot of reasons for it. I know you talked about it a bit on the last episode on the solo one that you did, but how much do you look at it and maybe reiterating the point, but how much do you look at Harden and what's going on early in the season and say, remember, here's a guy that was dealing with an injury at the end of last year versus here is a guy that now, maybe without Kyrie, without another on-ball shot creator unto himself, it's a different type of offensive dynamic for him, and maybe he just hasn't found that rhythm yet.
Well, clearly hasn't found the rhythm. That part is painfully obvious at this point. He's struggling right now. I think conditioning is part of the problem. I know people are going to make a big hubbubaloo. What's that word?
Wow. From a guy with a blue check mark, that's concerning.
It's embarrassing. They're going to take it away. Twitter's going to hear
hold
that.
On, let me,
gonna
say, well, and they just took it do? Away. Wow. I can't believe it. It comes fast. You know, like, comes you fast podcast.
This is how dialed in Twitter is. They already took it away. Like, they just they start listening to your every move. Okay. No, it's I don't even know what I was saying.
Hullabaloo.
Now. Oh, yeah. Hullabaloo. There you go. Too many syllables. People are going to say stuff about conditioning because Harden's got this past where it's nightclubs and it's going to Vegas instead of reporting with the Rockets and coming in and out of shape because you want to trade and this whole thing. That's not what's happening here. He's out of shape and out of conditioning, I think, because of the hamstring issue that he was dealing with last year. Talked a little bit about this on the podcast yesterday. Nash has talked about it also, about how that it did affect the amount of conditioning and cardio that you can do because it's a soft tissue injury in your hamstring and you just can't do the same ramp up that you're used to. Like, it takes time to recover from that. He played totally hurt in the Bucks series and it wasn't like, oh, head into the offseason and go 100%. Like, and I think we're seeing some of the after effects of that now. I have other thoughts about him, but would you agree that that's part? Like, it's a shame that he gets the other stuff dragged along with him, and he's deserving it. Like, he's had a nightlife. Like, it's been well documented. So it's not like it's going to come with you when that's part of your sort of, like, overall gestalt. But
right.
I don't get the sense does not seem to be the case, right?
Yeah,
like, it seems like there's a conditioning thing, and it's not having to do with partying all summer because it doesn't seem like that was the case.
Yeah, I had a nightlife, you know what I mean? But you don't hear about that because I wasn't famous at the time. But the point is, I still came and performed at whatever my particular job or maybe podcast was. I think you're right, because if you go back and you think about him trying to get back in that Bucks series and play a little bit, I mean, listen, the hamstring was, I mean, borderline on one leg at that point. But even as that series was progressing, you saw him getting a little bit more back. And the thing that struggled the most to me was, because as we always talk about, when Harden chooses to drive at the basket and look to draw contact, etc., he moves at his own pace. It almost looks like he's kind of going at three-quarter speed, and yet the talent that he is, he can be effective, he can get around defenders, and he can get to the bucket. The outside shot, though, the lift, I think, is where you're going to see the longest hangover from that hamstring injury. And is it easy to look at the numbers and go, well, he's bad from three, so it must be the hamstring? Sure, but there is a very one-to-one element of that, because in that Bucks series, you saw when he tried to hoist up some triples, it was like, hey, friends, I don't have it to get that ball there, let alone from a few steps behind the arc, even right up on the three-point line. He just did not have the lift to be able to elevate and get that shot off. I mean, you know, not to go scientific, but basketball shooting is on you. It's about your legs. It's not about your upper body. You can't just be, you know, arm chucking these things in. So I think that is a valid point in that regard. The other little interesting thing that you and I talked about going the past couple episodes was the shot selection and talking about how James Harden has not been a spot-up three-point shooter. And I only mention it because in this game specifically, there was a handful of sequences where he was out there on the perimeter catching and looking to take three-point shots. So, again, this weird byproduct of everyone else behind Kevin Durant basically trying to figure some things out here, that probably isn't helping James Harden either as he tries to get himself fully back from a hamstring injury, figure out a slightly different role without Kyrie Irving there, and have all these other new parts and pieces around him. The lobs to Nicholas Claxton early in the season, just all these different things, especially when his easiest way to get into a rhythm of the game is to be a facilitator first. Well, that only works if the guys that you're getting the ball to are also getting it through the bucket.
Yeah, like, I think the lift thing is totally correct. It looks like he's coming up short in a lot of threes. They're just, the timing is off. He's shooting under 30% for the season. And so I'm not worried about it coming around, but that's going to be something that's affected when you are not, like, in fully ramped up mode, right? You're just going to see this. You're going to see probably drop offs around some of your efficiency around this thing that he's been really good at in the past. And that's really just been the case from the very beginning. So the part where like, are we worried about it coming back? No. Like, I don't think it's like this long lasting thing. By the way, this is the other part. Like, it's been four games. Do we need to make grand assessments about what it's going to be for like the whole season? No, but his game, like we said, is predicated on these other pieces that are just, they do need a few more things to go correctly for it to look really good. And those things are just not clicking right now. And I think that kind of sums it up. And in some ways it's easy. In some ways it's like, let me put it this way. I think it's easy to sum up. I don't think it gets corrected next game. Right? Like,
no,
we might need to take like a really, really long approach to this thing, because this is, I don't think this is a thing that's like, hey, you didn't feel that great on a Monday, you'll feel better by Thursday. Like, I think it's like, you'll feel better game 20 or something like that.
And I was going to say, it's, you know, some of the pregame comments, it's a little double dip here about the fouls and the adjustments that the league is making, and kind of, you know, Harden being the guy who used the benefit of those calls the last few years and knowing that he needs to play through it and just adjust to the way things are going. And that was fine. But the other,
let me comment on that a little bit, because sure. I think that actually is being overblown a little bit. Like, I agree that the pieces that he has sort of propped his game up in the past have been this like epic foul drawing kind of game that drove fans absolutely nuts. So I agree that I think that's a little of what's happening here, and we definitely saw it a couple times in this game where he actually looked like he changed direction on what he went up to go up for a shot. In the past, he would have just ripped right through it and just like thrown the ball up wherever and gotten fouled. He actually ended up passing over to Patty Mills in that situation, because I think he saw as he was going up that he was like, oh, I can't really do that anymore, right?
No, 100%, and that's a perfect point that you bring up, because that's what I think the difference is. The difference is just him saying, well, I used to drive to the basket, and when I felt contact, I would throw it up wildly, get the foul, and go to the line, because that was the product of the NBA. I was taking what I could get. Now you're telling me I can't get that? Well, guess what? I can finish through at the rim, or to your point, I can find an outlet pass. I haven't done it in the past because you're blowing the whistle and I'm taking two shots. It's just that little adjustment. So even though, again, it wasn't a good game for him, the adjustment, you could start to see he's already making the adjustment. And, he, you know, all these players that are the best in the league are usually regarded this way. James Harden is regarded as one of the smarter NBA players as far as, you know, basketball IQ. Yeah. He's going to figure this thing out. It's just going to look different. So that coupled with the pregame, or coming off the postgame from the Charlotte match from Steve Nash, where he said, hamstring, the amount of time you spend away is the amount of time it's going to take you to get fully ramped back up. So you said 20 games. Yeah, might be the first month of the season here before we really start to get a sense of where his game is. The nice thing, I think, is Harden, while getting back from the injury a little bit, can also be adjusting to this new style of refereeing. So maybe by game 2025, we see this season's version of James Harden, which, by the way, he showed when he first came over to the Nets. I'm malleable. I can adapt to whatever the circumstance is. It just may take me a little bit of time to figure it out.
Yeah, and the other thing I was going to say too about that is I do think part of it's the refereeing, and it's clear that like there's been a slight adjustment in his game, like along those regards. But the other thing, I actually do think there's a little bit of less of like a killer instinct around the basket that I think actually has to do with the conditioning part, like the part where he is not like the explosiveness around getting to the rim isn't there as much, and that will show a decrease in fouls too. So I think a lot will be made that he's just not getting the fouls that he was supposed to be, and I think that is partly true, but I also think there's a part of it where it's part of that, but it's also this conditioning part, which is having an effect down the line. Like, this
more
like
aggressive
cascading
he is
effect.
The more aggressive he goes to the basket, the more likely it is that the defense is late actually really getting a piece of him and forcing the referees to blow the whistle.
Right, yeah, when he's sense. A step yep. slow in the lane already, like, the defense just doesn't need to do the extra work that it used to have to do with him around the lane, like where it was like, oh, now you got to get really close to him when you don't want to, and he's going to use his strength to kind of finish up over you. Like, that stuff's just really not happening. And so I think that I know people are making a big deal about this, about the foul calling, and it is real, but it's not the whole thing. Like, that is not why there's been this. By the way, free throws are down throughout the whole league, but I don't think that this is the only thing with Harden. I think there's like another, I think it has to do with his conditioning as well. Okay, we'll finish off some more thoughts around this win over the Wizards. Thanks again for making Locked On Nets your first listen, and also make sure that you're visiting our friends over at betonline.ag. They got a whole new interface. It's so easy to use at BetOnline. It's got all the action you could ever dream about. Obviously, everything you would want with basketball over the season long stuff. Like I said, I was looking up some MVP odds. They got the props, they have odds, they have lines, they have player stuff. It's all there on Bet Online. It's your number one spot for all the basketball and football action you could ever dream of this season. Head on over to betonline.ag, desktop or mobile. Sign up today. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's got to be the first deposit. And you have to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. Basketball, football, baseball, World Series coming up, NHL if you're into the hockey, plus boxing and UFC. It's all there. Vegas casino games if you want to get on those as well. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts.
The other place to be the fastest would be over at rockauto.com, because as we know, you've heard us talk about them before, why go into your local auto parts store, ask a guy to search something in the computer, walk back into the dusty aisle, pull back a part that you don't know if it's going to fit, try to jam it on there? There's no guarantee, my friends. But when you go over and avoid spending 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts, you're going to get onto the Rock Auto website, which is a family-owned business, by the way, serving those do-it-yourselfers like us for over 20 years. You're going to find the make and model of your car. You're going to find the part that you need. I just got a brand new little air plug for my tire because it was leaking air, and that's how you solve that thing. So I just went ahead and did it on Rock Auto. Saved myself some money, saved myself some time. You can go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. And of course, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. The other piece, I guess, so listen, we didn't focus too much on this game because Kevin Durant was phenomenal. James Harden struggled. And it was the Wizards. And I don't want to go broad stroke with that, but this wasn't a good game for the Nets overall. It just kind of felt like you happened to play against the Wizards and they're a bad team. That seems to be, as the world turns, so too are the Wizards bad. And in a game that brought back a familiar face in Spencer Dinwiddie, who has had some nice games already early in the season, yet he did a very Wizards type thing, having a bad performance. But listen,
how dare you? Wizards were 2-0. We broke up their undefeated season going into this game.
You know, they were screaming championship at the rafters. I heard them raining down blows upon the Brooklyn Nets crowd. But I mean, take either side of this. But I think the Spencer Dinwiddie piece is nice to me. He's in that starting lineup. He gets to play next to Bradley Beal. I don't know at what point the Wizards will get to wait 3 months before you can trade someone you signed in the offseason. So obviously they'll be looking to move him for assets later. Hopefully, you know, Dinwiddie ends up on a championship caliber team because he's talented enough. But this is not gonna work out, I think, the way he hopes.
It was good to see him again. He struggled again. He also struggled in this game. So he was just as much as a reason for the Nets being able to win, and he wasn't in the Nets uniform. he is also a guy that hasn't played a ton of basketball in a long time, so I'm not surprised that he's struggled a little bit. They've been really careful with his minutes to start the season. I think the Wizards have good stuff about them. I think this actually, this win, I think, does look better than maybe some. And the, you know, Wizards made the playoffs last year, yeah. And I know that it's mostly a different team here. Like the starting lineup is, I don't know, 60% different or something like that. So
and they suffer with all these new pieces and parts coming in too.
Yeah, like, for not, sure. Yeah. I do wonder about where this win looks like. It's actually funny about you say, because you said the Wizards are bad, and I think that's probably not too incorrect of an assessment. Like they're bottom half of the East or ish, like play in style. It'll be interesting to see where this win ranks later in the season, because obviously they were 2-0 going into this game. One of those games was without Beal, mm-hmm. but it's weird to judge a win because again we said at the top, like this win was kind of just as much about the Wizards being bad as it was about the Nets being good. Like the Nets did not play well in this game. Like this was not we talked about Durant as being an MVP at the start. Kind of everything else was pretty bad. Like
whatever the opposite of MVP would be, a lot of people were doing some of that as well.
Yeah, they shot pretty poorly again. Like Joe Harris struggled to start the season. He's missed a lot of open looks. We haven't talked a ton about him so far this season, but he once again, he missed, kind of all of his misses were open. I don't really know another way to put it. He's played pretty poorly here, and he had lots of good looks tonight.
Tonight was by far the best in these first four games, where you said these are consistent quality looks, the type of looks, yes, you want Joe Harris to get in the form and fashion you want to get them, yes, for him, and he wasn't knocking them down.
Yeah, and that's a concern. I know it's one game, but this is a carryover of sort of a lack of aggressiveness from him to start the season. And then you finally get this game where things line up pretty well in terms of what should be pretty much shooting practice for him. And he goes 3-12 from the field. And again, without counting them all, I would say like at least six of them were like wide open, yeah. Right? or something like that. And that number might be low. Yep. So he has struggled to start the season, 3-12 from the field, 3-11 from three. I know like the box score, the rebounds and stuff don't look that bad. He did not draw too difficult of a defensive assignment here. Like they could not follow him around the court. He just got to be better. I don't really know. Like there's really no excuse for it. He has to be better. He has to shoot better than this. This is just the game where you get back into a rhythm and he just hasn't been able to do it. And it's not, he's not the only problem here, but we just haven't really talked much about Joe Harris here for the first couple weeks of the season. And mostly there's been not much to talk about, good or bad. It's just been kind of nothing. And like, it's been nothing like egregiously terrible, and it's been nothing that really blows your socks off. But this one, I would say this was not a good game from him. And it was a little troubling that he struggled this much on the, how easy the looks were.
And I think, you know, just to tie a bow on the idea of the start of the season and where Harden is and where this team is, all these new parts, if you're Steve Nash and you're this coaching staff, you look at Joe Harris and say, you know, this is going to be Mr. Reliable here. Early in the season, yeah. As everyone else tries to figure things out, we'll look to Joe to be consistent for us from the perimeter. So the fact that he struggled, obviously, is something that they'll keep an eye on. They're going to keep running him out there. He's going to stay in the starting rotation. But listen, not unlike, you're going to give 20 games for Harden to find his rhythm and see and know, have him let you know that he's good to go and it's going to be a great year for him. Same thing for Joe. It's going to be the longest possible leash before you say, okay, maybe we have to start to look at just how do we shrink down your minutes a little bit, maximize the quality of your looks, and then look to utilize some of the other guys? We know that it's not a like-for-like swap, but Patty Mills has been playing well, very well, to start this season. So they have options unlike years past. But it's not that we're not seeing it. It's just that there's nothing really to say yet. Well,
I'm being serious when I say it was just kind of nothing. He was shooting like 39% on just six three-pointers a game, which is like right. Okay, right?
It wasn't Joe Harris level.
Not $20 million worth of shooting guard small forward. Like, that's really more what it is. It's like, if that guy's, you know, a mid-level exception or something like that, you'll take it all day long. When he makes this kind of money and you expect a lot more out of him, it's not a good performance. Now, after this game, he's down to 30% on the season. And when you are there, basically to hit lots of three-pointers sort of in volume, like 30% just doesn't cut it. And am I worried about the whole course of the season? Not even a little bit, but it's like, we didn't talk about it because, again, it was nothing. It was like, it was just enough three-pointers, it was just enough good shooting, but now it takes, and this is why sample sizes are weird, because it only takes one kind of bad game, and now the whole season numbers look sort of weird, right? And you know, one game later, and it's like, 30% from three on, you know, seven and a half attempts or whatever the math is. By the way, I made a mistake before. Kevin Durant is averaging 31 points a game, so no one can at me. I said 33, I know.
Buddy, we got to wrap up the show, obviously, but, I mean, just got a brand new shiny blue check mark and a lot of fumbling around. I mean, I'm not saying that it's getting to your head.
I said fastiest. I couldn't say hullabaloo before. I said Durant's thing is wrong. Right, I mean, now, this is just like one mistake.
Pressure.
Per segment.
You know what? It's not dissimilar to Joe Harris in the playoffs last year. The pressure getting to him, and now we have to wonder, is this the start of a trend or just a blip on the Doug Norrie radar?
Oh, I'm well documented that I have the yips, and not just when it comes to sometimes like throwing a baseball or sometimes just like all the other stuff too. Get the yips. Sometimes it's hard to get out of your own head. Okay, we are going to get out of here. We'll talk tomorrow a little bit more about some of these rotations the Nets have run. We'll talk about like what if we have enough sample size on any of the lineups that they've, like, if there's anything to take from lineups they have run so far. It's a little weird with them because they have run so many different guys. Like today we got Bembry. Today, you know, another Bruce Brown start. Like, they've been all over the place with some of these rotations purposefully. So I think there is a little bit of a method to this madness, but we'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. In the meantime, make sure you subscribe over on YouTube. All the episodes and more are going up on YouTube. Adam did a live YouTube right after the game on Friday. People popping in, answering, asking questions and stuff like that. So even more stuff is happening on YouTube. Really appreciate the subscriber numbers we've been seeing go up. Subscribe over on YouTube to Locked On Nets. The link will be in the show notes.
What's a wing ding? Why, a wing ding is, well, it's like a shindig, but without all the hullabaloo. Cuthbert soup.
Nice hullabaloo search while we were talking. One of the all-time great
poets. Checkmark form.
One of the all-time great poets. We will be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.